The Word of God says to us in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. I'm sure most of you know what that verse says right in the very beginning. It says to us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought not to faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall walk and they shall not be weary. They'll run and not faint. Fainting means that you are out of breath. Fainting means something has happened to you and you're passing out. You faint when you are dehydrated. Son, come to me. You. You faint when you are dehydrated. You faint when you are out of breath. But faint you will not. The strength of God is abiding in you. His ability is in you. You are empowered to succeed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every one of us have been ordained by God to make it. But the Word of God says, men ought always to what? Pray. In other words, if you're not a praying person, you are a fainting person. If you don't pray, you get to faint. If you don't pray, you get to faint. If you don't pray, you get to faint. But why do people not pray? Well, all kinds of reasons why people don't pray. They may not pray because they think they can handle the problem themselves. They may not pray because they don't have a relationship with God. They don't know they should pray. They may not pray because they're not getting an answer. Why bother praying? He's not going to hear me anyway. There can be all kinds of reasons why people don't pray. But God says, you ought to pray. You ought to pray and not faint. Fainting is not good. Praying is good. Amen? Someone say, praying is good. Quitting, falling over, fainting because you're breathless, Because you dehydrated. That's not good. But that's where a lot of people are. They're fainting. There's no passion to pray, no drive to pray, because they don't think God is going to answer them, or because they think the problem is too big for God to handle, or maybe God is too busy. Why should God listen to me? He's too busy. Any reason that causes you not to pray is a bad reason. It's not a God reason. Because God says, you ought always. Someone say, always.
Always.
Say it again, always.
Always.
One more time, always.
Always.
Always pray. Always pray. Don't faint. Now, if it says men ought always to pray, the defining factor is that word always. Because you can pray and faint if you don't always pray. No matter what the situation, the commission, the call of God on your life, on my life, is to what? Pray. Always. Let me leave that chapter alone for a moment. I might come back to it. But let's go to the book of 1 Peter. Or rather, let's go to Philippians 4, verse 6, first of all. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry yourself about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. By prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, make your request known to God. In other words, the way to make your request known to God is through prayer. So if you want God to know what you want, you want to communicate with God, he says, pray. Make your supplication. Supply your application. And do it with what? Thanksgiving. The word of God says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. The gates represent the seat of government. The entry point. God says, prayer. It doesn't matter how many times you've prayed before and something did not happen the way you wanted. He says, always what? Pray. Always what? Pray. Even when you did not get answer before, pray. What you must not do is faint. Because you don't know why you did not get the answer the first time. For the word of God says, sometimes we ask and we receive nothing because we ask amiss. And sometimes the important thing to do is to ask God, God, I'm asking for this, but how do I get it? I've asked, but how do I get it? What do I need? Is there something I need to do to position myself to receive what you have already positioned and set apart for me? Because I can assure you, God's word says that even before you pray, he answers. He knows what you are going to pray about and has made provision for it already. So then what is the point of praying? Praying so that you know. Praying is about you getting to know what God's will is. And God's will is not just the production of the answer that you are looking for. His will is the position, the location that you have to be at to get what He is already set apart for you. So the Bible says things like, whenever we pray towards this temple, towards the house, meaning the place where God is, He says, God, answer us. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God. And the what? Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, why is the peace of God there? The peace of God is there to keep you steadfast. Because sometimes you may be praying about something and there is a process of time from the time you asked to the time of manifestation. And during that time, the peace of God guards your heart so that you don't faint. Amen? So that you don't faint. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. Wait a minute. And your keep your hearts and minds. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now we can say, okay, it's saying He'll keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. But what if it's just me? Have you ever been in a situation where you are afraid and your heart, your physical heart, God says, listen, when you pray, I'm going to make sure that you don't get scared. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about hearts that the core of you is established no matter what. No matter what. I am established. I will not be afraid of bad news. It doesn't matter. I'm steadfast, settled. Doesn't matter. My mind, my natural mind, the way I think, it's the peace of God guards it. The mind of Christ that I have, that is also kept. So, me and God, my heart and God's heart, secure. Are you with me? We are okay. No matter what, we are okay. All is well. The blessing of God is upon my life. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. You should not be feeling peaceful. You should not be feeling joyful. You should not be feeling like things are going okay. We know that everything is going sour. What are you worrying? Why aren't you worrying, man? Have you ever been in a situation like that where you step back and say, wait a minute, why am I not worrying? why am I not scared? Well, because the peace of God is standing guard around your heart and your mind. Doing what? As soldiers, And they are attacking whatever it is that is contrary to your well-being. But when is that happening? When I'm coming to God with thanksgiving, when I'm praying, I'm making my supplication to God. We're understanding that God is the one who is the answer. My faith is not in what a man is going to do for me. Because child of God, when you place your faith in a man, man may disappoint you willingly, intentionally, or unintentionally. And if your faith is in what a man is going to do, and they cannot, because something else happened, then your heart is going to fall apart because your faith is in the man. The man is going to be my provider. The bank is going to be, if when I go to them, they promise me a loan. I have a good friend. I have a good contact there. And then you get there, it says, something changed. Hey, what am I going to do? Now you're going to start having enemies. You understand? This guy disappointed me. No, you disappointed yourself. You placed your faith in a man, thinking that that man is your answer, and God will help that man disappoint you. But when you place your faith in God, God will use a man. Anybody. To minister to your need. Mama and I were concerned about a situation. We'd come from a service during the feast days. And we're going home. And we started talking about a particular situation that needed attention. And we needed some money to deal with that situation. Where is that money going to come from? It was not small money. It's a whole lot of money. How are we going to solve this problem? But within 15 minutes of us talking about that problem, God resolved the problem. Amen? We're talking to somebody, and the person said, I feel led to send you this money. It was the money that we needed. They were planning on something. We said, no. We were not expecting it from there. We're not expecting it from anybody. Who are we going to tell our problem to? Tell you my problem? You think you can handle it? Don't get me started. But God is faithful. Amen. Amen? He knows exactly what you need. And you need not concern yourself about everything. He says, don't worry about it. He says, I tell you what you need to concern yourself about. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. He says, it's the pagan, the heathen, the one who does not know God. It is them that worry, not you. Amen? Don't worry. Well, Pastor, you don't know how many times I've been in this situation and, you know, things have not gone the way that I expected, I believed, and still it did not. Well, go to that same, you know, if you know the address of a person, you know the address, and you knock at the door and there's nobody there, you don't go knocking at your neighbor's door and say, maybe they are in that house. You know their address, man. You come back to that same door. Hello, I know you are there. Anybody home? The next day, anybody home? I see your car. Come out. Well, that's faith, because you know the address. In the name of Jesus, Hallelujah. If you ask anything in my name, so you don't come, oh, Buddha. What are we talking about here? When did we switch from Jesus to Buddha? No, there's no mixing up. This is not Chrislam. You know, you mix Jesus with Islam. No. We're not. Jesus is the way. We're not mixing anything. I know whom I have believed. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe? Amen. Why do we pray? We pray because we know that there's a God who answers prayers. He answers prayers. He meets my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have no reason to go anywhere else. There's no other place to go to. There's no plan B. If you're always having, you know, other contingencies, you've got issues, man. No, it's Jesus. All the way. Amen? In the morning, it's Jesus. At noontime, it's Jesus. In the evening, it's Jesus. When you go to bed, it's Jesus. That's it. Is that your story? In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, we read this. It says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In other words, continue in prayer, continue with thanksgiving. Those two go together. Praying without thanksgiving is faithless prayer. But when you pray with thanksgiving, even before you've seen it manifested, you are saying, God, I know that you've answered me already. And I'm celebrating. Oh God, when you do this for me, then I will do this. No. As soon as I finish, I go into action. When you do this for me, I will do this. I don't wait for him to do it for manifestation. I start doing what I said I'm going to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at this passage of scripture. Because that's how God acts too. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Look at it again. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when they pray, when they seek my face, when they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. When you do this, I will hear from heaven. Is that not what you just said? And I will forgive their sin because they've prayed, they've sought my face, and they've turned. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. But look at the next verse. Now mine eyes shall be open. He's not waiting for them to do any of those things yet. He expects them to do it. He says, now my ears are open. I'm ready to start answering now. Let's go. But that's the same thing you and I do. When we make a commitment to God and say, God, if you're going to do this, I'm going to do this. You say, let's go. I know you've done it already. You start doing it. What you said you're going to do. Oh, God, when you make me a millionaire, I'll give you 100,000. Let's go. This is 10 bucks starting. You started already. Hallelujah. You started already. This is to tell you that I'm serious. I thank you. You've done it already. You kick into action. You don't wait. No, he says if you believe, when you pray that you've received what you believe in God for, you shall have it. If you believe that you've already received it, you will have it. And that's what we all need to do. We kick into action. Say, we're not wasting time on this. Amen? This is not a 10-year plan. This is right now. We're going, you're a now God. I'm a now person also. Hallelujah. I was somewhere, we're actually in Toronto. We were, talking about something. But that day, the Lord, I'm going to be speaking somewhere. The Lord told me about what he was going to do. He says, I'm giving you a prophetic word. I said, okay. This is the prophetic word. I said, okay. He said, say it. So I said the prophetic word. He said, but this prophetic word that you just said is for that service that you're going to. I said, that's about 2 weeks away. Why are you telling me now? He says, because you need to get that word in motion because I want to make that word manifest like right away. So I want you to put it in motion before you even get there so that when you say it, it happens right away. Because there's time in the natural realm of things. Amen? God is timeless, but in this space, there is time. And so, you know, I said, I didn't know that before. He said, you've already known this. I said, how did I know this? He said, you've been acting on with it before. But for the first time, it dawned on me that God will give me a prophetic word because this is the first time he gave me a prophetic word about something. You know, you're in the service, you get a prophetic word. Hey, the Lord said this. You're in the service. But 2 weeks ahead, how does this work? But God is putting things in motion for you. Amen? And the way you tap into it is with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. God has blessed me, and the blessing of the Lord abides with me. There is no way that I'm going to lose out on the blessing that God has ordained for my life. Do you receive that? God has blessed me. I am blessed. And it doesn't matter who it is, what devil there is, it will not stop what God wants to do in my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I trust that you hear what I'm saying to you. So you pray because you know God answers prayers. In Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Colossians 4. Colossians 4 and 2. Praise the Lord. Book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We're all praying also for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. That's interesting. That God will pray for us also, that God will open unto us a door of utterance. In other words, that God will give us an opportunity. The word of God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So you have an open door, just go. And Paul says, yeah, that is what the word of God says. It says that I should go preach the gospel. But he understood that while God has given us all of this, that the key to opening every opportunity was in praying. That is your house. It's a big house. 10,000 square feet. It's your house. Try to get inside that house without a key. You're going to have to break in like a thief. And the cops, even though it's your house, may come and arrest you and then figure it out later. That make sense? Pray for us that we have the utterance, the door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. God, I know that you've given me this. What is the key that I need to crack this one open? How do I get from here to there? I know it's mine. It's mine. I receive it. But how do I possess it? Hallelujah. Some things we already have. It's not like we don't have it. We have it. But we are not able to access what is ours because we don't know how to unlock that situation. And Paul says, I need for you guys to pray with me. Stand with me. Wasn't Paul praying himself? Of course Paul was praying. But he was simply saying, we need agreement. I need your unity so that I can cut through this particular situation. Now, that's important because you can have an opportunity and not seize it. Let me say that again. You can have an opportunity and not seize it. Because you don't have the capacity to seize it. It's like this. Let me put it this way. There is a building that's on sale, and you know it's a great investment. It's going to cost $100,000. But you know, if you buy that thing for $100,000 and you hold on to it for a year or two, that thing is going to become a million. And the opportunity is given to you to buy it. It's right there. Do you want to buy this? And you look in your pocket. I only have 50 bucks. Hey! $50. The opportunity, but I cannot afford to buy it. That's bad news. And many times, we find ourselves in the same situation. It may not be a house. It might be some little thing that you should be able to access. It's there before you, but you can't go through it because you don't have the ability. It's the curse of being in a state when you come to birth but do not have the energy. So then you need help. Huh? You definitely need help to get through. Now, what prayer does is prayer causes you to be strengthened with the strength of the Lord. So that when you have an opportunity like that, and you only have 50 bucks, you don't faint and say, I cannot. You say, God, you gave me this opportunity. I have 50 bucks. Will my 50 bucks solve this problem? Or do you have an answer other? And if there's an answer, where is it? Who is bringing it? I call whatever it is that I need to come to me so I have what I need to get this $100,000 or get the down payment or whatever. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Our problem is we look only on our ability. You do it, I do it. We all do it. We look on our ability, what we have in our pocket. I don't know how many times I thank God today. When I drive through this city and I go through some neighborhoods and I say, oh God, I thank you, you did not answer that prayer. Because the house that I wanted to buy was a curse, not a blessing. And the reason I wanted that was because that's what I thought I could afford. Remember where we started? If you place your faith in a man, that man could be somebody else, and that man could be you. Your ability. When you place your faith in God, God steps into your circumstance and makes that which is difficult for you to do easy to be accomplished. That's part of praying. You come before God and you cry out to God and say, God, I need your help here. I need your help like I've never needed it before. I need your help. I don't know what to do. And he says, what's that in your hand? What's in your hand? You know what God will do with that, your 50 bucks? He might bring people to come, or he might ask you, you know that $50? Give it away. Sold it. Sold the $50. But God, that means I am short $50 now. No, no, you have short all that you needed. But now you're trusting God and obeying God. Not based on your natural mindset, based on what you know God is saying. And you sow it, and God steps in and solves your problem. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe you never did get that investment. Maybe you never did get it. But what you didn't do was that you obeyed God in sowing that $50. And guess what God will now do? He will get you something that is better than what you just missed. You didn't lose anything. Because obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Just obey God. Your prayer is about knowing the will of God. How are you going to solve this problem? Is there something you need me to do? Or is there something somebody else needs to do? And if there's something they need to do, I am praying for whoever it is that needs to be obedient to the directives of God, that they receive the energy that comes from God to come into my situation and help me fulfill my destiny so that they also can fulfill their destiny. Are you with me? We all work together. The answers to prayer happens together. God doesn't have one way of answering your prayer. Because if he did, you will make that way an idolatrous way. You will worship that way. So one day, Jesus says, receive your sight. Another day is molding eyeballs, sticking it in somebody's face and go wash your face. Which is the way? We don't know, other than it's Jesus. And whichever way Jesus decides to do it, that's the right way. Amen? Amen? God is not going to be locked up into a box. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me just go a little bit deeper in this passage. Take me to verse 12 of Colossians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin to wrap up. Verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring. Someone says laboring. Say it again, laboring. Fervently for you in prayers. Laboring. Working fervently for you in prayers. Laboring. Birthing for you in prayers, that ye may stand what? Perfect and complete in all the will of God. Let's go further. For bear him record that he had a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and who? Demas greet you. Now that's interesting. There's a guy there called what? Demas. But Demas is going to faint. Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. It says in 2 Timothy 4, 10, for Demas hath what? Forsaken me, having loved what? This present world. Demas, who was a choice minister, steadfast, following, fainted. Why did he faint? Having loved this present world. The sower sowed the seed. Some fell among the pathway, some fell amongst rocks, and some fell where there were thorns. And the ones that fell where the thorns were, the Bible tells us that these are the ones who brought forth fruit, but not to maturity. Because the cares of this world choked. The cares of this world what? Choked. Now, how does the cares of this world choke? When your prayers are all about my house, my car, my food, my this, my that, and has nothing to do with lives, other lives being impacted. Most of our prayers is about stuff. Stuff. And if your prayers are about stuff, you live in a very sorry life. Jesus, our Lord, said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing. Whatever it is, God knows whatever it is that you need. He says, it will be added to you. Your prayer should be more about what is in the heart of God. Epaphras was praying for the steadfastness, for the perfection of people, that they live a godly life. God, I'm praying that you help me live a godly life. I'm praying for our fellow church members that they will live a godly, honorable. I'm praying for the people in our community, Lord God, that you touch their lives so that they will live lives that glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, that you said in your word that as I seek you, you take care of every other thing. So, Lord, you know exactly what I need. But there's something that you need. You need souls. You need lives changed. And I'm praying for that. Amen? Our focus is about that. Amen? Hallelujah? Our focus is about what?
Souls.
Souls, people. Seeing their needs met. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop there. And we're going to continue some other time. Praise the Lord.